T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Our listeners have opinions.
Oh my God.
On Danica Patrick. That is for sure. I didn't know that all that. I guess apparently her first marriage fell apart because of cheating, so maybe it was karma coming back to get Danica in the end.
No, man. I don't believe in that. This is the whole thing, Andy. Right? Sometimes you just want to spot them, not coat them.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's true. And sometimes you think that you want to be with them forever.
Yeah.
And then something changes. Unfortunately the way things go.
She might not be as brushing at that one time when you got together. You know, because the thing when you get
brushing a tooth. Okay.
Or something like that. Because the thing about it is this is the one thing that we strive for in our house, for me and my wife. Don't get comfortable with each other to a point where you know, you let some stuff lack. No, hell no.
Yeah.
You know, they know.
That's a really,
wash
really good motto.
Wash your feet.
Yeah. You know? Keep trying to impress them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the thing. But I mean, the only thing that she gets irritated with me that I didn't do, I don't like she likes my hair cut a certain, like the dude I go to now, he can't cut it the way I want it to. But the reason I go to him, because he's right around the corner. I don't feel like going far to get no damn haircut.
Okay.
So she wants me to do that. So. But other than that, no, I like to do different things, man. You know, I like to change up the lotions that I wear at night sometimes, Andy, to give it a new fragrance in the bed. Just to keep that thing lively, man.
You got to keep it fresh,
you
Randy.
You only come into bed just smelling like Irish Spring and ashy.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
There we go.
You want to, because forever is forever, Randy.
Yeah, man. Hey, dog.
You get married. I mean, you plan on doing this thing for the rest of your life. You don't want to be, you know, married to the same two moves for the rest of your life.
What I always tell you, dog, unless I can get repaid on the back end for what I'm going to have to give up, hey, I'm here.
That's why I appreciate that little side profile on the side of the bed weekend advice you gave me a couple weeks ago.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. You got to keep it fresh, man. All right, always, and I will always live by this rule, Andy. And when we all, and it's crazy because we always get this advice: I'm about to get married. What should I do? Don't ever let your wife leave the house without you telling her you love her, kiss, and a booty slap. Don't ever let your wife leave no house. Don't ever let her leave the house, fellas. I don't care if she's mad, because it ain't nothing funnier than when she's mad and you do it. That makes it even more funnier. Don't ever let your wife leave without her telling her you love her, sugar, and a smack on the booty.
I got no better advice than that. Yeah, that's just wisdom right there.
Don't ever leave it. Yeah.
That's wisdom from a man who's lived it. Terry Fontenot coming up this afternoon with Dukes and Bell at 3 o'clock. Darren Eels coming up at 3:20 with Dukes and Bell. We've got Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily in 20 minutes from right now. Let's get to the most important audio in the world.
We better not, but I don't think we're at that point yet, just because, I mean, he's still someone that's fighting to be an all-star every year, in a sense of everyone knows he's good, but when you talk about elite point guards and elite players, people aren't putting him in that conversation. So as Atlanta fans, there's no way we could be thinking that, just in a sense of he's still getting better.
Big clip of the day brought to you by Jersey. Be a sub above. That's Renee Montgomery from yesterday when she joined the show talking about Trae Young. And we'll find out tonight, Randy, at some point. I know they got the two TNT games tonight. I think they announced the All-Star reserves.
They do
reserves.
It before the first game, usually,
is it before?
Right?
Okay.
I know they didn't. I think, if I'm not mistaken, because I think they did the starters before the first game.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they did it.
Okay, so we'll find out tonight whether or not Trae Young makes the Eastern Conference All-Star game. And I thought that was a great answer there from Renee, which is, I asked her something about us starting to just get used to Trae putting up crazy numbers, and she said, well, don't, because A, it's amazing, but B, he's still so far from being established. And I thought you made a great point earlier in the show, Randy, about how sometimes, like in local markets, we almost want to speak someone's ascension into existence.
Yes.
Like we want to talk about Trey as if he's in a certain place, even though he's not quite there yet, because we know what him being in that place would mean. If Trey doesn't make the All-Star game tonight, that would be unfortunate. I still think there's a pretty good chance that he will, but if he doesn't, I think that's a pretty accurate comment on just where he is in his career. He's a guy who's still going to struggle to make the team every single year, and I think that's okay. He's still really young.
And it's okay. I think that's the thing about it is he's so young, and we've seen this from young players. What about Devin Booker? Devin Booker should have been an All-Star the past 2 years.
Bradley Beal didn't even make the All-Star team last year.
Didn't make the All-Star team last year. Because as great as Bradley Beal is, he's not thought of like those other guys.
Right.
They're going to make all the time.
And it's hard to become thought of as one of those other guys.
It's
not just a year. Like,
exactly.
Especially in certain markets, and it's just the reality of it in the NBA, certain markets, certain teams are going to get covered and talked about differently. The Hawks aren't one of those teams. They just don't have a history of great success, unfortunately. So there's a little bit more of a mountain to climb there. I continue to sort of equate Trey and his body type and his style of play and the perception and how hard it's going to be to get that respect nationally to what Damian Lillard had to do in Portland. Like,
how long did it take Dame to get to the All-Star game?
I don't know how many years it took him to get to the All-Star game, but it took him probably twice as long as it should have taken us to just start being talked about as one of those guys. Like, now he gets the respect. He's going to be in the All-Star game. He's not an All-Star starter this year, which again is back to my point. Like, he should be. But that's kind of how it works, unfortunately, in some situations. And I think Trey is in that situation.
He is in that situation. And it's not something that you get this say it's just a horrible situation, because I think Trey is going to be a multiple All-Star type guy. I think his trajectory says that, but because it doesn't have a year, you know, that's how people look at it. It's like, oh, it's a disappointment. He's not even an All-Star this year. And it just doesn't go that way. And I'm just saying it's my opinion, because there's been a lot of young players who have been snubbed. Like,
yeah.
Luka's in a different – Luka has this national perception around the league that he's going to be an MVP candidate. They don't look at Trey that way. You know, they look at Luka that way. Do I think Luka's a better all-around player than Trey? I do. But, I mean, he has that wow factor to be like a Dirk Nowitzki-type impact on the league. You know what I mean? Like, the foreign player who got – but Trey is not there yet. But
yeah.
Do I think Trey is an all-star type player? I do. But is he right now, Andy, this year in and year out – Trae Young's going to be an All-Star. No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Hopefully he gets there. It is interesting. The Damian Lillard trajectory is pretty right on. He was an All-Star in his second season, and then he wasn't for a couple years. And now he's back to being an All-Star every single year. And I think that's kind of what it's going to be for Trae. I think, you know, he's going to have to earn it over a longer period of time. And the other thing about it, too, is there's just a lot of really good players in the Eastern Conference this year. Last year, he wasn't playing. Harden wasn't in the East. Durant was hurt. Bradley Beal wasn't quite doing exactly what he's doing right now. Westbrook wasn't in the East. Like, there's just Drew Holiday wasn't in the East. There's just more players in the Eastern Conference right now. Jalen Brown wasn't as well as he is right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, Trey doesn't seem like his game's falling off. It just seems like everybody else is improving.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's right. Here's Dave O'Brien talking about who he thinks the closer is going to be for the Braves.
Right now, it's going to be Will Smith as the primary guy. I think they also tried to get Trevor Rosenthal, but he ended up getting that deal with Oakland. That's a lot of deferred money on it. The Braves wanted to do a two-year backloaded deal with him, and it wasn't as good as the offer that Oakland made him. So they tried to get Rosenthal, and he would have been a closer. But they're not going to have any hesitation to make Will Smith the closer. He gave up a ton of home runs last year. This guy was an All-Star the year before that with San Francisco when he was the primary closer. And when he didn't miss summer camp due to, you know, COVID. So the good thing is, if he were to struggle and he just didn't have it again coming out of the gate and gave up a home run in each of his first three appearances or something, they do have other options. You know, they've got Matzik, they've got Chris Martin, can easily close, especially if the matchups were right. But that guy's, you know, he was all but unhittable for most of last season. And Mentor. You know, Mentor last year really took huge strides. Now, is he going to repeat that? I don't know, but he looked great last year, and he pitched great in the postseason as well. Who's going to forget that brief start that he made at the end against the Dodgers? So those are his options. They got four really good relievers. They're not as deep as they were last year, but they got four really good ones.
And then he went on to also talk about adding Webb back into the bullpen as well, who was really good.
Two years ago,
got off to a great start and then hurt his shoulder. So you throw him back into the bullpen mix as well. But that is interesting to hear because, yeah, Will Smith has definitely done it. I feel confident that Will Smith can do it. But the Braves tried to get two other guys to come in here and do it, and they're on other teams now. Trevor Rosenthal ended up in Oakland because of a better contract offer. Mark Melancon ended up
raggedy.
Yeah, I mean, the Melancon one makes sense. Like similar money, he just wants to be closer to his Mexican mansion. The Rosenthal one,
like he a damn cartel leader.
I mean, that's what the way that Dave O'Brien described it yesterday on Dukes of Bell. He said he built a $10 million compound on the coast in Mexico. It did kind of sound like cartelish a little.
Yeah,
he's got a helipad as well. You know.
I ain't mad at him, dog.
He's a turf cartel. He's got his own like backyard turf business.
Hey, man. I mean, to each his own. This is a loot on top of loot, so good for him. But I look at it. I mean, Will Smith seems like he's going to be the guy until he's not the guy, and I think that's the one thing that we'll have to keep an eye on is that somebody's I'm not going to say somebody's job. Yeah, I will say these arms, especially in the pitching rotation, bullpen, and closer situation, it is what it is until it ain't. You know, right now this is it looks good. We got young players. We got good veterans in there, and then you got the starting. Then you got the bullpen with Mr. Martin.
Oh, you mean Chris Martin?
Will
number 55?
Will Smith. Hopefully they bring back Shane.
Yellow.
What the hell are you talking about? Oh, that was another Chris Martin song. That's right. And then, you know, I like it. As long as that is fine and Mentor is still in that place where he needs to be and we don't got to use that dude that much, I think we should be fine. But I think that you have to give it time because I think we're too quick to, like, oh, it's set right now. You got Max Fried. You got Mike Soroka coming back. You got Ian Anderson. You got Charlie Morton and Drew Smiley. So we set. And it just, to me, it ain't always set.
We learned anything from last year is that things change.
Yes.
I mean, they started 14 different starting pitchers last year in 60 games, which is insane. Hopefully they don't even start. I don't know what they'll definitely start like six or seven that you know of this year to double digits. If the Braves stay under double digit pitchers used to start games this year, I think that's a really good thing.
I'm with you.
That would mean that they stayed healthy and that you trusted them and that they pitched good. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
My biggest thing, Andy, let's get to the All-Star break without anybody getting
it. Yeah. Yeah, let's get through the first turn of the rotation without anybody getting DFA'd.
Yes.
And then we'll feel good about being better than last year. And then let everybody get through their first three starts without anybody rupturing their Achilles tendon. And then we'll be in a better place. And then you're right, Randy, then the All-Star game. And then all these different benchmarks. Health is going to be the most important thing, just like it is for any team. But the Braves didn't have it last year in the pitching rotation and still were one game away from the World Series. Hopefully they can stay healthy this year. Here's Brian Snitker talking about that backup catching position.
Both them young guys that we started the year with. You know, we lost both our major league catchers and started the year with two double-A, triple-A catchers. And I thought they both handled themselves very well. They're both growing. And you look mentally, I think it was a great opportunity for both of those guys to kind of, you know, see the reality of where they're at. And
yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Remember at the beginning of the year last year, Darnold and Flowers were dealing with catching or COVID, something related.
Who the hell were the starting catchers last year?
It was Darnold and Flowers.
No, I'm talking about before that.
Oh. Contreras. William Contreras and Alex Jackson.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And Contreras was pretty good.
He was okay.
He had a nice little start. So, the thing about Alex Jackson and William Contreras, so is Flowers just kind of assumed to be the odd man out?
I think he is, man. Okay. I like Tyler Flowers. I'm tired of talking about Alex Jackson. It's about his time, right? I think Alex should have been up here 2 years ago and been a starting catcher right now. That was what I thought back. I was like, this dude's ready. He needs to come on up. Now, Contreras, I mean, that's how I looked. That's how I viewed Alex Jackson. Obviously, I was wrong because if he was who he was, they wouldn't have brought in Brian McCann.
Right.
You know, but he has not been that guy that they need, to go with the role that they want him to. I mean, the catching position, you know, for the last few years, it's been two, but it's always been somebody that plays the majority of the snaps. I'm about to call it snaps. Behind the plate.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, you know what
starts,
I mean.
Starts.
Yeah. And I think that you got to, we'll take anything we get. Just don't suck.
Yeah, and the other thing,
a word
too,
that you like to use.
At some point, I do like to say that word. Shea Langeliers is coming at some point, too.
Sometime he's coming, sooner or later.
He continues to work his way up the Baseball 100 prospect.
You say sooner or later?
I think sooner. Okay. I think his rise is going faster than they thought. He's 23. I mean, he played in college for a few years, so right. he's a little older than just your average prospect who maybe comes in out of high school. I'm not saying he's going to make the team, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if we see him at some point this year.
Okay.
Like if Langeliers makes his way up to the big leagues at some point this year. All right. Let's hear from Cam Newton. Cam Newton was on I'm an Athlete podcast with Chad Johnson, Brandon Marshall, and Fred Taylor. They talked about a lot of different interesting stuff, but here he is talking about potentially retiring.
So I'm asking you right here, right now, I'm an Athlete. Let us hear it, but the people are going to hear it too.
Hell. All right, no. I can't go out like that.
No timetable.
No, I can't go out like that.
Till the wheels fall off.
No, it's not even till the wheels fall off. I can't go out like that. And given the hand that I was dealt, bro, like going into last year, is he healthy? I just want to finish healthy. Now it's like if I'm able to learn his system, like come on, bro, I can't go out like that. My pride won't even allow me to do that. And you can talk about this, you can talk about that, you can talk about whatever. Listen, bro. There's not 32 guys better than me.
I love that confidence that Cam has, and he has some points because of the fact is that he arrived late and all these things dealt with the COVID and everything. I love that podcast. One reason I love that podcast, funny as hell.
Yes.
Fred Taylor, and I tell people this all the time, he was one of the best parts about training the offseason down in Florida was being with him. And it just wasn't the competition or the respect that he brought to the group when we worked out. It was the advice that man would give, Andy. The money, the type of advice for how to save your money and all that by paying yourself a salary, man, and it works to this day. And it's unreal the knowledge that Fred T has when it comes to that bread and holding on to it.
They all have a really interesting debate about Percy Harvin and Peter Warwick. And just like the most outrageous athletes they saw in college football.
I'll tell you right now.
Highly recommend the podcast.
I saw that. I was like, hold on. People don't realize how Pete Dunne was that
Peter
dude.
Peter was insane when he was in college. You couldn't even touch him,
Pete
let alone
Dunne
tackle him.
Pete Dunne was funny, all right. Man.
Speaking of podcasts, Brandon Adams hosts Dog Nation Daily, the daily UGA football podcast. We'll talk to Brandon Adams next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Who's a dork?
Jim Boeheim.
Oh.
I just like.
Randy calls somebody a dork. I got to know.
Yeah, Jim Boeheim, man.
He seems
like, and like Brian just said, it seemed like he looked the same our whole lives. Like, if you go back to them old Big East games with him and Georgetown, yeah. Jim Boeheim still looks the same.
It's true. He wore the same suit. He had the same glasses, the same haircut. Yeah, Jim Boeheim has somehow looked like, I don't know, what generic age, like 55? He's looked 55 for 40 years.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not a big Jim Boeheim fan either. We'll get to questions with Brian coming up in about 20 minutes. Back into what's trending top of the 1 o'clock hour. Our guy Brandon Adams from the Dog Nation Daily podcast joins us now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Atlanta's Ford dealer. Hey, BA.
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Making fun of Boeheim.
Yeah, that's it.
Enjoying the sunshine.
I do sort of picture him coming out of the womb with that receding headline and those glasses on. Like his like fifth grade picture, he's bald headed. I sort of picture that as well.
Like, did he ever consider not wearing a tweed jacket? Like, he didn't have to wear a tweed jacket when he was in his 30s, or contacts or something like that. Anyway,
hey, yeah, no doubt.
I did want to start here. I know it's not the most fun story in the world, but it's definitely intriguing to me about what's going on with that. I mean, there's a lot of comments coming out of Tennessee. The general manager said, this isn't the guy we drafted. Like, what has happened from his UGA days until now?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I talked about this on my show a little bit today, too, that, you know, I had a chance to – wouldn't say I know Isaiah well, but I've certainly spoken to him a few times, and I never would have predicted that he would have had this hard a time with, like, professional life the way that he has. And, you know, when you think about being a GM or a personnel guy, this is what gives them sleepless nights right now, because you really don't know how guys are going to react to – you know, getting that money, making that transition to college life, to professional life, where you do have to have a little bit more responsibility. And frankly, I'm pretty shocked that Wilson's had as much trouble with it as he has. I mean, as it stands right now, he could end up being, you know, arguably the worst first-round pick of all time if it continues to trend the way that it is right now. I hate it for him. And Obviously, if you're the Titans, this is the kind of thing that scares you. But any time you give that time contract to somebody, you don't know how they're going to respond to it. It's one of the reasons why you have all these tests and psychological interviews and things along those lines. But I'm not quite so sure anybody's really invented the way to really examine how a guy is going to act once he gets a little money in his hand.
It's different. It's a different thing that a lot of my, I've been in that class B of like, damn, I got all this and I ain't got to go to class to do nothing. So, but I mean, that's the, you know, the, but yeah, so another couple other things, and it came out last week. I think I forgot to mention the G Day, and it seems like they're going to have it. I think 20-some thousand people, and they're actually going to be charging. And I'm trying to think, this will be the first time that I can think of that they charge for fans to enter G Day.
Yeah, I think the only reason why they're doing this is obviously going to raise some money from charity for doing this, but I think the issue is you've got to figure out some way to distribute these tickets because even though a spring game is typically a smaller crowd than a normal-sized game, it's also this issue of determining, well, who gets them and who doesn't. By putting some sort of charge together, I think it becomes a little bit easier mechanism to distribute it because that's going to be the biggest issue is even with a spring game, there's still – you know, more demand for the tickets than you have tickets available. So I think that by charging, it's, you know, $10 is not nothing, but it's also not a huge fee either. I just think it makes it a little bit easier to distribute them the way that they want to. And frankly, I think it's going to be actually tough for any of these to end up in the hands of the average fan because, you know, they got so many, you know, promises to keep just big donors, things like that. That'll be interesting to see how much of this stuff even trickles on down to the general public.
Am I wrong to be impressed, actually, that Demetrius Robertson got a boot off of his car? Because anybody who's ever tried to do that knows that's almost impossible to do. Like, the fact that he got a boot off his car, to me, is impressive.
I feel the same way. Listen, you know, around the Atlanta area, like, the whole boot economy has been an issue for me for a long time. I mean, listen, I got nothing but sympathy for D-Rob for dealing with, I would say, PSA to your audience, that as D-Rob found out, the charges for messing around with this thing can be fairly significant. So he's going to be dealing with that for a little while. But listen, I've had my run-in with boot guys over the years. Maybe y'all have there as well. The fact that he figured out a way to do this is in a way kind of commendable. And certainly I'm somewhat impressed he's pulling it off. But I guess I would say to the audience, maybe don't try this at home because he's got some legal stuff to deal with now because of it.
I'm just telling you now, I've seen it done. We had a basketball player when I was in Georgia, you guys, and he literally had a pickup truck, and that's before BA they built that big parking structure where McQuarter Hall was, where that parking lot was.
Sure.
He had to have a permit to park there, and he would literally cut off the boot. He had a pickup truck back full of boots, like had camera security
right?
And everything before him. Like,
they're like bars in Buckhead, you know, certainly back when I was going out years ago, I hopefully go out quite like I used to. But, I mean, there'd be like the boot company out there with the binoculars just waiting for somebody to take one step off of that parking lot. They come attach that thing. And some of the things I've heard these boot guys say to people, I mean, it's like the Wild West. It's like total lawlessness. So, listen, I sympathize with D-Rub, if nothing else, because – like I said, I got no love for the boot company.
I just give the boot guy what he's asking for. That's just it's the safest way to go about it. You don't want trouble with the boot man. If he gets it off for $50, all right, you're out $50, but at least you didn't get hit with a baseball bat.
Hey, B.A., what's the significance now of this new dead period thing that they have amongst the recruiting part of college football now?
Well, I think the biggest significance, if you are the player yourself and you want to take these visits, I mean, that's a crucial part of making the decision. And to see the dead period extended, I believe it's now been extended 8 times, when almost everything else related to college football is going on, right? We're having spring practices, we've had games, you've had fans in the stands, you've had everything that goes on with college football, even if it's limited, and obviously we understand why it would be limited because of the pandemic, but it's still going on. The only thing that's not going on at all is like the recruiting process. And the argument I'd make is that, you know, the people who are making this decision, the very high level of the NCAA, and like the university president, who have influence over that, you know, they don't have any recruits sitting at the table helping talk about this. The voice of the recruit himself is not heard from on this issue whatsoever. It's almost like the powers just simply don't care, which I think is completely and totally unfair. I mean, I've heard from parents of some of the recruits right now, and it really is just not very fun trying to make this decision when you don't have the ability to be on campus and learn about schools from the inside. There's so much value, you know, there for that. Of all the things that have kind of gone on, you know, related to the, you know, coronavirus, some of what college football has done, I think, has been pretty commendable. But this is actually really pretty despicable, the fact that after all this time, they can't find some way to allow these programs to healthily, safely, you know, host these recruits. You know, I find this entire ordeal to be pretty reprehensible. And frankly, I wish more people would pay attention to just how much of a raw deal these current recruits are getting because that dead period keeps getting extended.
Brandon Adams joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy from DogNation.com, the host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Now that we know when G-Day is and sort of the ins and outs of how it's going to work, what are some things you're keeping an eye on between now and then, some storylines related to the team?
Yeah, I think a handful of things that are probably a pretty interesting issue is who's that backup quarterback going to be? We all know that JT Daniels should be the starter barring injury, but you know Brock Vandegrift, who's dealing with a little bit of an injury recovery of his own, you know, maybe competing with Carson Beck to see who that number two guy can be. I think that number two quarterback's a pretty valuable spot to be at if you're Georgia this year. You know, beyond that, you know, can you have somebody emerge at left tackle that allows Jamari Salyer to play on the inside there at guard? Is it a Broderick Justin and gets a chance to do that? Can he earn that spot? And obviously with Grayshon Miller, the cornerback from West Virginia choosing Auburn, that was a graduate transfer that some people thought Georgia might be interested in. You know, if you're going to go to bat this spring with the secondary guys you have had, how do those guys perform? And coming out of spring, does Georgia end up with some confidence that, hey, maybe the inexperienced but talented players that we have here may be the makings of a pretty good secondary? That's really what it comes down to me. Offensive line, secondary, maybe a little bit of a look at backup quarterback. I think that's kind of where a lot of the attention for Georgia is going to be paid this spring.
B.A., the backup quarterback situation, the loser petition, is he at Georgia in 2021 season?
Yeah, I mean, you know how this goes, Randy. I mean, so many of these guys are looking to transfer, things like that. And if you're Georgia, I think there's only so much you can do to mitigate against that, right? I mean, that's just modern-day life college football. However, here's the one thing I would be paying attention to. Let's say I'm Carson Beck, who was a four-star signee, you know, a couple of years ago, kind of waiting his turn. Maybe he feels like Georgia's recruited over him by bringing Brock Vandegrift. Look what just happened to Mac Jones, who was also kind of a, you know, guy kind of buried on the depth chart at Alabama. But lo and behold, he waits around long enough and he ends up setting records. You know, think about that. You know, think about even Kyle Trask there at Florida, who also kind of waited his turn for a while. Being is going to get you rewarded. I don't know that you can convince one of these Georgia quarterbacks of that, but it's at least probably worth paying attention to.
Yeah, that's such a tough one to try to convince a kid of when there's so much other conversation about, well, you do this, you move. I mean, Justin Fields obviously is an argument for the other side of it, right? I mean, these are guys that
that's
are probably
exactly right.
Both going to get drafted in the top 10 this year. Brandon, we appreciate it. Great stuff as always.
Appreciate it, B.A.
Always a lot of fun, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Brandon Adams there from DogNation.com, as well as the host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast.
Yes. I'm telling you, dude, it was a basketball player, though. I swear to you, like, he would literally be chomping the damn boots off and would be riding
with
around
what?
The back. Yeah, dude. Oh, God. And I know one of y'all out there listening, fellas. What was that?
But what was he using to cut it off with?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a
heavy
duty tool.
Cutter things,
wow.
Dude. He would be snapping them things off the tire.
How much did you have to give him to do that?
Dude, they were looking for him. Like how the dude in the little cart with only one seat looking for you? How you gonna scare me and you riding around the damn cart with one wheel?
Yeah, it's not the one wheel guy in Atlanta. If you get a boot on your car, by the way,
yeah.
It's not him. It's somebody else. We'll come back and get to some damn good questions with Brian coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time I checked, I was a man on these streets.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. 20 minutes away from telling you what's trending, all the news here on a Tuesday afternoon. A couple minutes away from some damn good questions with Brian as well. Randy's Ramble coming up at 1:30.
Yeah, man.
Any idea what
when this guy used to hit drop in this trunk right here? Randy's Ramble. Andy, it don't make no sense for both of us to be leaking.
What a tease.
Yes, it includes you in it.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to use you as an example.
Okay.
But it's got something to do with both of us.
Okay, I don't want either one of us to be leaking if we can help it.
Right, exactly.
Okay, great. Yeah. Perfect. We'll get there at 1:30. Let you hear a little bit more of what Renee Montgomery had to say to us yesterday from Fox Sports South about the Hawks. We talked quite a bit about Trey, and we've been mentioning it throughout the show today. I know Mike was talking about it in the update. We'll find out tonight whether or not Trey is going to be an All-Star. The other thing about that too, Randy, is it kind of could be like the Pro Bowl in many years where guys just aren't going to participate. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see a number of these NBA stars like, not participating in this
Buck,
game.
You say it, Buck. I don't see it happening.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I don't know why I don't see it happening.
They just seem so anti the idea of it.
To me, this seems like they're going to be like, mandatory. We're good. To me, don't this feel like a more mandatory type thing than a Pro Bowl?
That's interesting. To me, anything mandatory for LeBron James and these guys? Like, these guys have the juice.
I know, but to me, for some reason, it just seems like it's a mandatory type thing. I don't know, man. But I want to talk to you about you real quick before we get to B. Okay. The first question you asked Brandon as about Isaiah Wilson. I don't know what's going on with this young man. I really don't. But he ain't been, like I said, and I say it jokingly, but it's true. He ain't been right since his mama tossed his old lady off his lap on draft day. You know, he ain't been, since he has been an NFL player, nothing has went right for him.
Yeah.
He's been caught out four or five times when he ain't supposed to be out and got COVID, all this stuff. This dude don't want to play football. This dude wants what football can do for him.
Until
he changes his mentality, man. All right.
Let me read you the quote from the Titans general manager. This is not something that you want your boss saying about you. We did a lot of work on him leading up to the draft. The player that was here in the fall was not the player we evaluated. He's going to have to make a determination on whether he wants to do what it takes to play pro football. Yeah. Exactly like you're talking about.
Yeah. And then whatever he tweeted out last night, I would no longer be – who the hell –
no longer going to play professional football if he's affiliated with the Titans.
Why don't go home?
It doesn't seem like a Titans problem. It seems like an Isaiah Wilson problem. But yeah, man, bad stuff. You hate to see that for anybody, especially, you know, a guy from the local school like that. So hopefully he can figure it out. He's still really young. You've seen young guys kind of act wild when they first get in the league and then maybe get a wake-up call. Not everybody gets a chance to fix it, though. Nope. Sometimes you act wild and the league's done with you.
That damn fool in Seattle sneaking abroad into his locker room, into the hotel.
Yeah.
Gets a second chance, Andy. And what does he go out and do, Andy? This fool gets arrested for street racing.
Really? That was the same guy?
Dummy.
I did not know that. All right, let's get to Brian and some damn good questions.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Parks.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678 ESOG now.
That's pretty damn good, huh?
Yeah,
it's a Weezer song.
Yeah, that is pretty good. That's
Island
that's
in
damn
the Sun, because it's sunny outside today.
Oh, what?
Yeah, the song Island in the Sun, based off of the sun. Yeah,
the
famous
band's
Weezer
name
song.
Is Weezer, Elmo, and all those guys.
Yeah. That's play.
I know you're a big Weezer guy, Randy. The sweater song. Say it ain't so.
So this whole Isaiah Wilson situation, if he winds up not on the Titans anymore, maybe he finds himself in a, you know, very, very different situations, but DeAndre Baker, you know, he had that situation too, wound up with the Chiefs. Do you see him winding up potentially with the Chiefs, a team that could use another offensive tackle, or the Patriots? Doesn't it seem like he's going to wind up with one of those two?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this young man wants to play football. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. And to me, it just seemed like right now, because, you know, we're not in the building, so I don't know how I can ever say this, and this is practice happens, all that. All I can go is that your ass always be seen caught out when you weren't supposed to be out. You know, that means that you don't follow directions too well. And so, I mean, if he gets his life together, I can see Chiefs, somebody like that does seem like a logical pick for him.
Well,
can play.
The guy that coached him last year was the head coach or the offensive coordinator of the Titans is the coach here in Atlanta now.
There you go.
So there's a relationship.
I mean, he can play. He can play.
Now, that might be a big reason that he's not going to be here, that Arthur Smith was actually around him, and he's like, no, I'm good.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get to this clip from Dave O'Brien yesterday. He was on with Dukes and Bell. If you want to hear the whole interview, it's up 929thegame.com. It's about a minute-long clip, but I want you to hear about the role that Chipper is going to play. I know we've talked about it a little bit, but Dave O'Brien explains exactly what Chipper is going to do and just how many hitting coaches this team has. I want you to answer on the back end. Does the team need this many hitting coaches? Is this a good thing?
It's a misnomer, I think, in that it sounds like you're downplaying it or like he's not going to have a big role. He's going to have a big role. He's going to be there all the home games and be in uniform from the time the guys get there, he'll be there before them probably. You know, from like noon to up until through batting practice and up until game time sometimes. The only thing is he can't be in the dugout in uniform because there are rules regarding how many coaches you can have, and the Braves already have their full allotment. They hired a third hitting coach back in November. So when Chipper became available, oh, it was December, when Chipper became available, they added a fourth. He was a half a coach, if you want to say. But, I mean, they have four hitting coaches now, and they're all good ones, too. So one of them's Latin, one's Spanish-speaking, or two of them now. I think Magalhães, I think, speaks Spanish. But the guy they promoted from AAA, everybody raves about him. He's the guy that had Riley swing, had him looking like Babe Ruth when they first called Riley up as a rookie. That was working with Bobby Magalhães in AAA, and he's now going to be on the major league staff as a third full-time coach.
I mean, I think you can never have enough coaching, I guess. And I think Chip, man, Chipper just Chipper's enjoying the clubhouse vibes. You know, I mean, Andy, because that's the one, whenever you leave the game, that's the biggest thing that you miss other than them checks. You know, you miss that locker room vibe, that fun around the guys and everything. So you have enough coaches if they're all doing well with their input.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much the sort of SEC, Nick Saban, get all these coaches on staff because there's no rule against it mentality, right? Like, I'm going to have this analyst who used to be a head coach. I'm going to have this guy, you know what I mean? Get all these minds in the building. What happens when Kevin Seitzer and Chipper Jones disagree on the right thing to do with Austin Riley's swing? Like, what happens when there's a disagreement about how to tweak it?
I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. I think Chipper will be more chill about it. Chipper's like, all right, you got it, Pippen. I'm just in the Hall of Famer. You know, I'm just, oh, man, I got this.
Right, well, that's the thing. So you're going to not listen to a Hall of Famer on the, you know what I mean? It just, there can't be too many cooks in the
kitchen. There can, man. Yeah. But I tell you what, guys, you know who back on them streets, Andy?
Who?
Bobby Shmurda.
Oh.
Yeah.
I saw that.
I like that one hooky-booky song.
Bobby Shmurda's out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got out of jail.
Shmurda. I like, he out again, yeah.
Yeah, he's out.
I just like that song.
Yeah, I'm a Bobby Shmurda fan.
Yeah, I think after he went away, I got away from the hooky booky.
Well, now that he's back, maybe you can return to it.
Nah, I can't return to it because they all sound alike, Andy.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll come back and get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.